Congregation of the Lord, let us now turn to the word of the Lord in Psalm 19. Continually we have been meeting in our worship in the light of the word of God and receive God's blessing and greeting in the light of the word and from the word of God. The call to worship has been from the word of God. The psalms and hymns have been based on the word of God. And we have prayed in the light of the gospel truth of the word of God. Here now, in this important aspect of our worship, we would read the word of God together, hear, and then preach and hear, that we might do the things and continue in the word as this word is revealed to us. Psalm 19, to the chief musician, the Psalm of David is the subheading. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Thus far, Psalm 19. I'm going to be reflecting with you in the sermon this morning on the verses 1 through 6. I'm just going to repeat them. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. As we read this psalm, we should have been impressed by the fact that this psalm is all about the revelators of God. Revelators are the agents of the revelation of God. So you have agents here, means whereby God makes himself and his kingdom known. Right in this psalm. In fact, every way that God makes himself known is principally here in this psalm. You have, for example, in the first part, God's general revelation by the revelators of the heavens and the firmament, and especially the sun that has the firmament as a tent, or the heavens as a tent, and it rides through as a kind of a circuit rider preacher declaring the glories of God. But then you also have something that the psalmist would also celebrate, the law of God. In verse 7 and following is an outstanding description of a man's love for God who loves the law of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, he says, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And on he goes with the praises of the law of God, which reveals something of God and is something that works the works of God. But behind all of that, there's a man of God here who has received a special revelation of the gospel. So there's a celebration of that going on, and that's clear from the fact that this man is loving the law and declaring the praises of God in the heavens, and also is one who's conscious of the fact of his Redeemer. And so in verse 14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." And so this psalm here is the psalmist inspired of God to celebrate what God has made known and how. It's an outstanding passage, one of those things that ought to stick with us and our children, and which we ought to commit to memory, and certainly which ought to lead us to join in the celebration. God is the God who has revelation and reveals things of himself and his kingdom in many and marvelous ways. Especially, and we would consider this today, is there this truth here in the first part of the psalm of what's called general revelation, the general revelation of God, whereby he makes himself and his glories known in all of creation, the heavens and the firmament and the sun in the heavens leading the way. I want to hear that this morning declared to us, but also in the context of Psalm 19. There's something about the context that tells us how we are to receive the general revelation of God and really indicates to us the only possibility of hearing what the heavens are shouting. And that is, if we ourselves have heard the gospel news, believed it, and would then go into all the world in the light of the sacred account of this gospel. And so there's something about those who receive the revelation. May the Lord bless us as we receive this truth of general revelation in the context of the special gospel message that God gives to us in all the world, and especially in the preaching of the gospel. So I want to consider heaven's hallelujahs. Heaven's hallelujahs. And first of all, we want to expound the passage here briefly in the first six verses of Psalm 19, and then go to the first prophet of this scripture, which is doctrine, as we saw last time. The prophet of the scripture, the blessing of it, is principally the truth. What is this truth here that's taught in light of the whole word? And then finally, application. And oh, how we need this to be brought out to us. There's something here, some vital things here for our living and witness of the praises of God. So the heavens declare, heaven's hallelujah. First of all, let's consider that idea, that wonderful truth brought out of the heavens declaring the glory of God, and so on. Well, you have here heavens, and you have presented here this mysterious thing called firmament. He had that also in Genesis 1. God made the firmament and also made the heavens and the earth. There are distinctions made here between the things who are doing the revelating. Heavens, I would submit, are the outer space and the things that go in the outer space, what we would see in the night and the stars that twinkle and the sun also that is way out and beyond our atmosphere. The firmament is most likely the atmosphere in which people fly and in which there's things that you can see in clouds and so on. And so you have things above here that are presented as also presenting a message. They're preachers. You get that, children? The heavens are speaking the glory of God. The firmament is showing his handwork or handiwork, the work of God's hands. And day to day, the daytime is saying something. It's uttering speech. Night and night, night to night, night after night is showing something. And so there's a remarkable revelation of nature's revelation here. The remarkable thing about it is that the creation is said here to show the Creator. And this is the whole point of this truth of general revelation and the truth of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, which would mean they are saying something of the God of glory. They're teaching of God. Now that in itself is amazing, that creaturely things can somehow be a display, an instrument, whereby there's something else besides them, even a creator who's above them, is made known. You think of that, just that concept, that idea of things here below showing off something else. Well, this is the whole idea of the creation, says very loudly Psalm 19. It's not made as a thing itself to be seen in itself for what it is, but it is made to be seen as a preacher for the one who is not made, even God. And specifically, the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and also the idea, of course, is that the firmament is showing this glory of God in showing His what God has made. Now, the glory of God is the kavod. That's a Hebrew word that's used often for glory. And, well, you have that in Isaiah's vision. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, remember that? He's taken to this throne room of heaven, and there's angels who cover their faces and do fly and who are ready to do God's bidding. And they're saying, these angels are, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His kavod, His glory." Now, glory, the glory of something, is the outstanding characteristic of it. Like the glory of the sun is its rays and its heat. The glory of a young man is his strength. The glory of Olympians is their ability to run the 100 in 9.58 seconds. So you have these glories, these outstanding characteristics of things. The glory of God is here front and center. The weight of God, the outstanding things of God. And what can we say? But that this is simply everything about God. The heavens, when they declare the glory of God, are simply there declaring not just one aspect of God, but the reality of God in all His virtues, all His work, all of His being. There's nothing you see inglorious about God. There is a lot of inglorious things about us, and some things we might want to brag about because we can do them better than others. But with God, and there's the heavens declaring this and the firmament showing this, it's all glory. It's all weight. It's all something to be impressed upon because He is God. You see, the godness of God is declared in the heavens above and in all things, as we shall see. And especially in that sun riding like a circuit preacher in its course through the heavens. The godness of God. The fact that He is. The greatness of His power. The greatness of His wisdom. The greatness of His righteousness. The fact that He is above the created realm and is to be obeyed is revealed by the heavens. Declared by the heavens. The fact in the heavens themselves that are so majestic of the majesty of God. That's shouted too. The heavens are like these who would draw attention to themselves. That is, they do gain our attention. But then as we are drawn to these heavens and we marvel, we're supposed to hear something from the heavens and they're saying, "It's not about me. It's about the God who made me." I remember long time ago, I don't think I've ever told my children about this. I was on a lake, laying on the lake. How can you do that? It was frozen. And there I was in the middle of this lake, and it was frozen lake, laying on my back, young lad. For the first time, I was moved by the awe of the stars and the quiet. The quiet. They weren't making a sound. But God was declaring Himself at that time. It was simply amazing. It's like my eyes had been opened up to something beyond myself and my little world and the Boy Scouts and lakes and frozen things and things below that, however great and however lovely, paled in comparison to the One who must have made it all. The heavens were declaring something to me and I was hearing it. Though for a long time, I suppressed the knowledge of that God until I was born again. But the heavens are declaring the glory of God and the firmament is showing His handiwork. And let's be clear about this. They are really saying something and really saying it loud and clear. Look, no, it's not that the heavens hint at the glory of God and the firmament sometimes shows what God has made. No. It's not that some days you see God more than others in the heavens. And some nights you really are impressed by what God has to say. It's always and in everything. That's the marvelous thing about these preachers. Just a few things about the sermons. The content is the glory of God. That's all they're saying. Glory, glory, hallelujah. In all the things that God has made. Especially in those heavens. First thing is, their sermon never ends. Day after day after day, sermon never ends. Imagine that, coming to church and the sermon would never end. Or you would think it would never end and looking at your watch and hope it would end. We can be that way sometimes. But heaven's sermons are never too long. But they're always there. They're always long. Day after day and night after night. There's this second thing about it. Very, very clear and unmistakable word from heaven. God is God. So it's all day long. All night long. 24/7. From the time you're born and beyond. No, before you're born. From when the creations were made until the creation is ended in the day of consummation. There's these sermons, these circuit riders in God's heavens that God has made. And then this speech is unmistakable so that there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And the idea is not heard and clearly understood. You see that? We sermon makers, we say things only maybe in English. Maybe there's a translator next to us if we're on the mission field. Or we say things only in Dutch and the Dutchman here, but the English wouldn't understand it. Or we speak in French, parlez-vous français, and hardly anybody gets it, but the Frenchmen do. But there's a language of heaven, even a speechless language, which everybody hears in these sermon makers. That's the idea of this text. That's the wonder of these sermons. They're constant, they're plain, they're unmistakable. Day and night, there's this wonderful, wonderful declaration. And especially by the Son, it seems here, this is the outstanding feature of the heavens, according to Psalm 19, because the Son gets all of the attention, doesn't it? In the last part of verse 4, and then verse 5, and then verse 6. Notice, the Son is given its own tabernacle, or tent, as we sang in that versification in Psalm 28. It's given a special place. A special place so that it will be there until the end of time. The sun is like a holy thing, a holy sign of God's glory. And, well, it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber as a strong man rejoicing to run a race, as the bridegroom who will take his bride and show his masculinity and manhood and power and strength and so on, and take one to be his, to be one flesh. The strong man who looks around and who knows that there's no real challengers to him, so he rejoices to run the race. That's the Son. The Son has no peers, according to this text and this description of this Son in the heavens. His going forth is from one end of the heaven. His circuit is unto the ends of the heaven. He rises, he sets, he has a message everywhere he's going, and no one can escape, the text says, the heat of that sun. It's not just that he is shining, but he is influencing all who are under him. And so we know of the sun. More on that presently, but this outstanding feature of the heavens declaring the glory of God, this outstanding preacher is here presented to us. What about the doctrines of this? I move on. That's a brief exposition of the passage. And the doctrine here, the teaching that is set forth in Psalm 19, is the teaching of what's called general revelation. The revelation or unveiling of God Himself and His kingdom that God makes known generally in all the world to everyone who was ever born, and to all the creatures, inanimate ones themselves. Everyone has a sense of the divine, as the theologians used to say. And it's very important that we know this, and that the heavens, though they lead the way, that's what is said here, the heavens and the firmament and the sun, are nevertheless only a small part of this revelation of God in nature. All of the created things are part of the preachers that God would give, the great company of the preachers that God has made in creation. And that's clear from a text like Romans chapter 1. You can follow along with me if you want, but this is the doctrine here of Psalm 19 brought to light in a New Testament sort of way. In Romans 1, we read here that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So this wrath from heaven, Paul says, that's revealed against all sinful people. And there's this wonderful thought about this wrath from heaven. And its cause, and it's the cause is that God has revealed Himself to them, and yet they don't want to see it. They don't want to hold it up. They hold it under in unrighteousness. And then in verse 20, we have this. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, note, by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Note here, the invisible things of God from the beginning of time are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. From Psalm 19, we might get the impression that just the heavens and just the firmament and just the sun are the preachers, three preachers. From Romans 1, the Word of God adds to this the fact that everything that is made is a revelator of God. The invisible things of God are clearly understood, clearly seen by the things, all the things that are made. Everything that God has made, from the dirt to the mountain, from the things living to the things non, everything, including angels and including human beings, are revelators in their creatureliness of something of God, clearly revealing that there's someone more than we are, someone constant, someone faithful, someone wise, someone who is altogether great and greatly to be praised. That's the doctrine of general revelation. And this is clearly set forth in the Reformed creeds. Article 2, Belgic Confession. By what means is God made known to us? We know Him by two means. First, by the creation, the preservation, and the government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein are all creatures, great and small, as so many characters, letters of a book, leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God. That's a quote of Romans 1. even his everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says, all things which are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. That's general revelation. That's the first part of that article, Belgic Confession, Article 2. This is a glorious truth, people of God. God makes himself known in all the world. And I'll even say this. This is understood, the godness of God, even by those who don't have eyes. And even by those who don't have ears to hear the birds in the spring. By those who are somehow mentally incapacitated and limited in their normal understanding of things, there is this intelligence, nevertheless, of God in the things that are made. Why is that? Because God has created us with something called a conscience. And though the conscience be seared by our suppression of sin, nevertheless, inborn in every creature is this sense of the divine, regardless of his sense, of his feeling God, or of his seeing the things of God, or hearing of the things of God. And this is why the Hottentot in the deepest, darkest woods somewhere knows God, even though not so clearly, but just as significantly as the one who is educated in the major universities and even has the special revelation of God. We are all, the Bible says, so understanding of these preachers' words in heaven and in all the things below that we are without excuse. Because you see, there's a morality in the general revelation of God, a moral imperative for us who hear it. The moral thing is not take it or leave it, but receive it, believe it, and bow. That's what God says in creation. He says, I am God. Now you bow. Now you worship. You obey me. But the second thing about general revelation, the doctrine of it, is that it is not sufficient to save people. Not sufficient, not enough to save people. Now you may say, Reverend Dick, I thought you said that the heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, they do. But Romans 1 tells us that this glory of God in a fallen world is the glory of his righteous anger revealed from heaven. Look at that. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The glory of his holiness is revealed from heaven. And it's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Against them who hold the truth of God under. That's the idea of the Greek word. They hold it under. They receive this sermon and they hold it under. Suppress it in their unrighteousness. Later on, the apostle will explicate how they hold it under. He says that because, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful for his creating them, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What do the fools do in this world? What are they doing today? Hearing the sermons, if they've never graced the door of a church, the sermons of heaven, what are they doing? They're changing it all into a lie. Nice. Nice development in the evolutionary scheme of things, isn't it? We have a son. Isn't that glorious, this created thing, for us to use and for no other purpose? Fools, they suppress this truth of God that's revealed in the sermons of all the created things, the heavens leading the way. Professing themselves to be wise, even. to be above that superstitious religious thing, to be scientific, humanistic, promoting the glory and the advancement of man. Some people, even Christians, so-called, will say that this general revelation is enough to save. Even though Romans 1 clearly says it's not enough to save. It is enough to leave without excuse, but it's not enough to save. And they'll say even that by this general revelation, which is called natural light, even the Hottentots who walk by that, and I mean Hottentot in general, just heathen in generally, they can be saved if they walk according to that light of nature. People, even theologically bent Christians, will say, well, a Muslim who may have never heard the gospel, who lives nevertheless according to the light of nature and morally, will nevertheless be received beyond the pearly gates. And Buddhists and secular humanists and Jews of every stripe who may have never heard the gospel will be received because they've taken this general revelation and they've lived their lives in accord with it. Now, there's a lot of things that are problematic with this kind of scheme of things, people of God. But the chief of which is this. First of all, it's a denial of the sinfulness of man. The sinfulness of religious man. The sinfulness of the religious cream of the crop among the Muslims, the Jews, the secular humanists, and the Christians. The sinfulness of the case. And we ourselves are unrighteous, and Paul will go out to say this. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And none can be made right with God simply by living according to the light of nature. As if we could merit something with God, and as if religion were climbing up to God, and that all was all it was. No. We need a better preacher, even a saving one. And that's what God has given in His Son. This is my final point, beloved. There's something here of the psalmist that we have to take heed to in Psalm 19 when he is extolling the great preachers of the heavens and the firmament. He is one who's not suppressing the truth. There's a remarkable fact here. He's not suppressing the truth of the heavens. He's not even suppressing the truth of the law that it makes him a sinner. He's glorying in that truth. Now, how can that be? And how can it be if as we've said, there's none righteous, no, not one, and all that the heavens do is declare our condemnation under the wrath of God, how can it be that there's any one of us, even here, that would sing the praises of God and declare the declarers of the heavens to be faithful in their mission to declare the glory of God? The only answer is that God Himself has shown Himself in a far more glorious way than even the sun riding its circuit in the heavens. And that we know, sinner, to be in the speech which is His word, His Son. And that's what the psalmist has heard. The psalmist who is speaking out of his knowledge of the Lord Jehovah God, who is his strength and his Redeemer. That's why the psalmist celebrates the glory and the glorious preachers of the heavens, because he's been preached to in the Word of God of the gospel of salvation. And that's the way it is, beloved, with us. God has sent His Son. Hear the voice of God. In the fullness of the time, and He's spoken from the heavens now to our earth. Now from our earth, from among the sons of man, He's spoken the glory of grace. And we've met with Him in the sacred scriptures, and there He is. And in the fullness of time, there He is, the Son of God. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, as Jesus. More than the light of nature, we have the light of the gospel, of the revelation of the God of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the brightness of the glory of God, the express image of His person, the glory that righteousness, the righteousness of God, will be satisfied by another one, even by the Son, who Himself takes on our unrighteousness, all our lying, all of our sniveling ways. And He takes it upon His broad and divine and human shoulders, and He bears the weight of the wrath of God. He is exposed to wrath on Calvary for you and for me. And He bears our sin all the way. Oh, beloved, glory, glory, hallelujah, the Son of God dies for us. Drips His blood, breaks His body for us. And now He's risen to the right hand of God. Oh, people of God. That's the revelation of the gospel, in which this light of the heavens is seen by this psalmist and ought to be seen by us. The Son of God has come and the glory of grace has visited us. And now He's at the right hand of God. And now He sends His Spirit, so that we receive the things of God and we are born again. And if we be born again, people, congregation of the Lord, then all things are new. Then there's this glorious, glorious reception of truth and this saving knowledge of God and this understanding that I'm not my own. And now I look at creation, the general revelation of God, because I've been preached to by God Himself, and I say, wow, this is a glorious God of salvation. And even it's the case that I can now appreciate the Son of Righteousness as this preacher who's picturing Jesus, the Son in the heavens, as the Son of Righteousness. And I can look at all creation as a parable. I can see the shepherds in the field caring for their sheep as a parable of Jesus who cares for the sheep of the church of God. I can behold the glory of the gospel in the creation because I first been made known of the gospel truth. And beloved, there's one other thing I want to leave you with, a couple. But it's this, that the psalmist knows then something of the other preachers of which the Apostle speaks in Romans 10, and which is a quotation of our very text. In Romans 10, the Apostle speaks of preachers of the gospel, and that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and answers the question, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard, with this, a preacher will speak the truth. How shall they hear without a preacher? And what's quoted here is Psalm 19. But I say, have they not heard? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. He's speaking of the heavens and the sun. And he's saying the preachers are like that. And faith in the gospel and faith in the glorious gospel and the God of the glorious gospel is worked by that preaching and by that hearing. That's the application for us. People of God, general revelation is one thing. It's marvelous. In light of the special revelation of God, whereby we know God our Redeemer, it's this glorious reminder that we are not our own. 24/7. Day unto day uttereth knowledge, night unto night showeth speech. The glory of God, the God of our salvation. And as we hear that in light of the Word of God with the echoes of the gospel that we've heard preached, what a great thing to be alive. What a great thing to be a part of this created world where God has His preachers all over the place. What a great thing, even when our toes are stepped on by the condemning word of the heavens and also by the condemning word of the law, when we can receive even that and say, ah, but the law now is not my taskmaster. It's certainly not my condemner, because Christ is my Redeemer. And the law, it's become to me a way of showing gratitude. And my response to the heavens above and the earth beneath and everything in between and the God above is that I shall love Him. And I will not be afraid. And you need not be afraid when you sin even, because there's something far greater than our sins. The Savior and the unconditional and free grace of God, unmerited except by Him. Receive that, people of God. Believe. Their sound has gone out into all the ends of the world. Now hear, be doers of that word. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for preaching to us. We need to hear, as in all the world and from pulpits, there's truth proclaimed. Lord, we pray humbly to receive this word, but also gladly, and knowing that it is a power to us unto salvation. Gospel news is powerful news to lift us up from this earth and to mingle with heaven's praise, the praise of the redeemed. So, Lord, we shall do this if You are willing, and as we receive Your grace and Holy Spirit to live the thankful life. Hear us, Lord. We've been preached to, and we shall be as we step into this created world and every day hear what You would say. And so we shall be a part of the great throng that declares the truth as it is in Jesus, world without end. Amen.